Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to read verses 6 through 11 together. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Acts 1, verses 6 through 11. Let's read this passage responsively. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. And after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to get the truth. Lord, so many people mistake things. We take things as perverted, and Lord, we've changed things. Help us to look at your word and take it rightly, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, is it okay if we just kind of shut that door a little bit? That'll help me. It's not that we hate the babies. It's I got to keep my own attention. Amen. That's good. Thank you. Tomorrow, of course, will be Memorial Day. Today set aside to remember the sacrifice of those who died on the battlefield, those who died in service to our country. Hundreds of thousands and probably a little over a million soldiers have died in battle. And by the way, they did that to keep America free, not to give us a president who ran around the world telling everybody how bad we are for whooping up on everybody.
That's right.
Thank God we have a president who's got some manhood and some patriotism.
Amen.
Oh, North Korea. All the Democrats were laughing. Oh, Kim Jong's laughing at you. You pulled out. Guess what? He's the one that wanted to renegotiate this week. He knows we're not playing games. America is still the greatest country in all the world. She may not be all she should, could be or should be, but she's still the greatest land in all the world. May we not forget the sacrifice to those who gave us the freedom to do what we're doing right now. You go to any Muslim country right now, you could not meet like this with a Bible and preach like I preach tonight.
Right.
Not legally. I have a dear friend who pastors in New Jersey. A lot of Muslim people there. He had a lady come get saved the last time I preached for him, and he said, Preacher, he said, I can't go follow up on her at her house because if her husband finds out, he'll kill her, literally. He will literally kill her. He said, if she gets baptized and they find out about it, they'll never find her again. He said, she's planning on getting baptized. He said, but we have to keep it quiet. Welcome to the Muslim nations. Now, thank God we have the freedom in America to preach right and to preach freely. Liberals, the media, the sodomites, and the pacifists have never won a war. You don't win a war by slapping somebody in the head with your purse. Liberalism has never won a war. Liberalism has prolonged war. Liberalism... the war in World War II should have never even happened, first of all. Say, why did it? Because of liberals like Franklin Delano Roosevelt. FDR did not get us out of the Depression. He prolonged the Depression and created the government-dependent society we have today. Germany was not to have an army. Germany was not to have military. Germany was to have had their original boundaries, and we let them go into many different countries and take over. Oh, we'll just let them take this much. We'll let them take this much. It'll be okay. They'll take this much. Adolf Hitler says, I'm counting on the Western powers for their sitzkrieg while I blitzkrieg. And the only reason we got into the war is because Japan bombed Pearl Harbor and FDR had no choice. He was making money off of both sides. He didn't want to get in the war. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. I could give you a whole history lesson on that one. Listen to the average parent today. When the Afghan war was going on and the Iraq wars were going on, and when we went into Iran and Iraq and got rid of Hussein, insane Hussein, I heard parents on the television being interviewed and in the news. I didn't send my children into the military to go fight. I sent them to go get an education. Huh. Folks, I hate to disappoint you. Armies exist to kill and to fight. Amen. Not for education.
That's right.
We're so impressed with our intelligence in our education that we've become stupid.
That's
right. Did you ever notice the smart people are the ones that believe in evolution and the dumb people believe in the Word of God? According to the world. They can't prove evolution, but they believe in it and prove how smart they are. They believe in something that never happened.
Right.
And they want to look at me and say, ha, you're stupid. Liberals aren't real bright, just so you know. They're not smart enough to not believe in evolution and believe in God. Thank God for those who fought for our freedom. Now, I'll fight for their freedom to be wrong. I'll fight for the freedom of the Jehovah's false witnesses to go knock on doors. I'll fight for the Mormons to knock on doors. I don't believe in their doctrine. I'll knock on more doors than they knock on in our area, and I'll get more people than they will because I'm going to outwork them.
Yes.
I'm not going to say they can't go knock on doors because if they lose their freedom, we lose our freedom.
That's right.
Here in Acts 1, the disciples had seen Jesus die and resurrect. He's been back on the earth for 40 days. He is now going back to heaven. He told them, I'm coming back. But I've taught you what to do. Now go out there and do it. So, while they're standing there talking to him, the Bible says that he just started going up in a cloud. Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine us standing there watching him go up. Now, one of my favorite things, and I can't even hardly read this verse without shouting. But you get down there in verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? Watch this. This same Jesus. It's not going to be another. It's not going to be one with a different name. It said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner.
Amen.
The same one that went up is coming back.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The same Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Jesus gave them a great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he taught them to do. He showed them how to do it. He said, go out and start churches and get these churches going and spread the gospel around the world. Now watch this. Jesus gave them a commission, not a memorial.
Yes, sir.
The angel, after they're standing there looking up, he said, hey, fellas, what you standing here around doing? He said, well, we just watched him go up. He said he's coming back. He said, no. The angel looked at him and said, no. He said, go out and go do what he said. Now get out of here and go do it. They were waiting for him to come back right away. He did that at resurrection. He resurrected, saw Mary. They went and told him he had gone to heaven and come back and came and talked to him that day. They thought it was just going to be a few hours. It was time to get busy, not time to stand there and do nothing. A memorial is to be a motivator to do more, not to stop and to worship. A memorial is there to motivate you to do something, not for you to stand there and mourn over it. I have on my tie the memorial of Iwo Jima, the flag raising at Iwo. May I say something? That's not there for people to go to and mourn. It's there to motivate you for your freedom. Remember the sacrifice that it took for people to get it. And I could spend an hour telling you the story about that in and of itself. I won't. But a memorial is to be a motivator to do more, not a place to stop and worship. As we remember those who paid for freedom with their death, it should not cause us to want to quit having freedom. It ought to motivate us to use our freedom for right.
Yes, sir.
We ought to realize how precious our freedom is. We ought to fight to protect our freedom. We ought to get active about protecting our freedoms. Hey, the liberals are coming after everybody. They want your guns. They want your children. They want your education. Public education is not found in the Constitution of the United States of America, and public education is against the Constitution of the United States. You will not find it in there, and yet 23% of our economy is based on public education. And is all it is an indoctrination to indoctrinate people to become government dependent.
Yes, sir.
Do you know who the first president of the United States was who wasn't homeschooled through school? FDR. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun right now. Let me give you three thoughts. Let me give you just a few things on this. I call this memorials to move, not memorials to sit. Number one, let's not forget those who served in spiritual battle and stayed true. Not just the battle physically for our freedoms in our country as our veterans, but let's not forget those who served in spiritual warfare. Can I tell you something? Our country is under spiritual attack. I've been in the ministry long enough to know it's hard. Not a lot of guys make it and stand true. Let's not forget those who were responsible for getting us saved. I'm going to make a statement here. Some of the people responsible for getting you have changed, but the message did not. The church I got saved in wouldn't let me preach in that pulpit one second. Number one, I wouldn't go there and preach. It's a rock and roll church now. One time ran 10,000 people. Second largest church in the country at one point in time. Now it's a rock and roll church. But can I tell you something? I thank God while I was there, they preached the gospel. I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
I'm not going to promote people going to church there. Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
those churches may be dead and gone. Those churches may not even exist anymore, but you can thank God that it was there. How many of you know the name Lee Robertson and Tennessee Temple University? Do you know that that church is now closed down, joined a Southern Baptist church, and the college does not even exist anymore? The great Lee Robertson. I remember when Lee Robertson retired, and years after his retirement, he had a little office at the end of the hallway there, and people would go by and laugh at the old man that used to be the president of the college there.
Aww.
Wasn't even welcome to preach in his own church or college while he was still alive. 3 years ago, they came out and apologized for Lee Robertson pulling that church and that college out of the Southern Baptist Convention as part of their ability to get back into the Southern Baptist Convention. apologized and named Lee Roberson and how wrong he was for doing it. I got more respect for a pimp than that.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I thank God for the influence of a Lee Roberson.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? So you shouldn't name names. Okay, don't. I will. They may have only got you started, but thank God they pushed you in the right direction. Dr. Henniger stood at my grandmother's funeral. Dad, you were there. Mom, you were there. Brother Henniger came to Grandma's funeral. Camp Baptist Temple. Brother Henniger was a tall, stately, kind of just a neat fella. Never forgot a face or a name. Had almost perfect recall. He looked at me and said, "Son, you're one of Sonny's boys, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Which one, Chris or Craig?" I hadn't seen Brother Henniger in 30 years. Probably at least 30 years. I didn't even know he knew my name 30 years. I told him who I was. I told him where I was working. I was working for Brother Hiles at the time. That big old tall, retired, stately man grabbed my hand, put his head on my shoulder, began to cry, and said, "My son has destroyed my church. They're voting next week whether to keep it called a Baptist church or not." Pushed himself back, looked at me, he said, pointed that big old hand of his, and he had big old hands. Took that big old hand and he said, "Son, don't you ever change." He said, "If the only thing Camp Baptist Temple ever turned out was you, don't you ever change." I said, "Don't worry, sir, that's all I know." I've kept my word.
Amen.
I've kept my word. Amen. That was at my grandma's funeral. You don't need to fellowship with those kind of people anymore. You don't need to contact and search them out if they've changed, but you can thank God for what they invested in you so you could have gotten saved. I thank God for the Sunday school teacher that led me to Christ. I don't even know her name. Someday in heaven I'll find her. I thank God for Mr. Humphreys, one-legged Vietnam vet. Preaching a junior church, preached on hell one day and scared the bejeebers out of me, and I got saved. And I'm not talking about, I mean, it's almost like a pirate leg he had. He didn't have a prosthesis. He had a wooden leg. You know, and you're four and a half, five years old, and you watch this guy with a wooden pig leg up there preaching on hell. It's enough to scare anybody. I thank God for the pastor that I grew up under through my upper elementary years and my junior high and high school years. I won't call his name right now. I thank God for him. He wouldn't want me to preach for him. He's changed. I didn't. But I thank God for him and the influence he had. Thank God for him. He looked at me as a teenager and said, "Son, you don't need to read what anybody else says about the Bible. You better know what the Bible says before you read what somebody else thinks about it. Don't you read anything." When I got to Hiles Anderson College, and they said, "You need my first class, you need to go buy these three books that Brother Hiles wrote." I said, "He wrote a book?" When I went down to the bookstore, I found out he wrote the whole stupid bookstore. I didn't know he had written 40-some books. I had no idea. The only book I ever read was the Bible. I'd start reading and say, "Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, a different angle, but I knew that." I thank God that I found somebody I agreed with because we agreed on the Word of God, not because he was somebody famous. I didn't even know who he was. Thank God for men like Brother Hiles, Brother Roloff, Dr. Roberson, people in the past that are heroes that we should uphold, J. Frank Norris. Read their lives. I'm not saying read their sermons, but read their lives. Read their biographies. I don't read sermons. I read biographies. I read people's lives. Great leaders like that. Thank God for those who have paved the way for us. And Brother Barnes and I were talking about this yesterday in between visits. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I don't care. Did you know you can't trace Baptist history? That's a misnomer, because Baptist churches have been splitting to stay pure all these years. And at any one point in time, if you trace it at the wrong time, you're tracing Baptist history the wrong direction. you Camp Baptist Temple right now in Trace Baptist history, you'll find out you're in a whole different part of the world. Baptist churches have been splitting to stay pure. That's why they're all over the place. You stay pure by splitting off the impurity. Everybody doing okay? So, I don't get into tracing Baptist history. I can go all the way back to Jesus. John the Baptist baptized him. Guess what? Baptist wasn't John's last name. It's what he was. So, number one, let's not forget those who served in spiritual battle to help us stay true. Number two, the commission is more important than a memorial. The commission of orders is far more important than a memorial about what happened.
Yes, sir.
Did you know the Great Commission has still been given to us? The memorial comes after the war. We're still in battle. Not time to stop at a memorial. It's time to stay fighting.
Amen.
We have to win the battle before we can think about a memorial. The only reason we had the Iwo Jima memorial is because we won the battle.
Amen.
Not because we had a big fight there. Let's keep fighting for soul winning and doing what's right. We don't go soul winning because it builds a church. We go soul winning to obey God. You don't tithe because you can get something from God. You tithe because God commanded it. God said, our responsibility, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem, where we live. Judea, our state. The uttermost part of the earth, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria is the country. The uttermost part of the earth is around the world. 3/4 of the Great Commission is about your country where you live. 1/4 is other parts. Now listen to me very carefully here. Thank God for people like Jesse who went out soul winning yesterday and had somebody saved.
Amen.
That's exciting to me. You can just have a seat there, Doc. That's fine. You'll have to sit down. Now, help me with something here. We're supposed to fight for what's right. We're still in a battle for the King James Bible. Can I tell you something? That is God's word. That's the only proven word. Never been a major revival ever preached in history without the King James Bible. Not one. I could go through all the texts and the Textus Receptus and all the other garbage, and I could spend hours and hours and reason with you. Can I tell you something? You don't have to go find original manuscripts. The King James Bible is the preserved, inspired Word of God.
Amen.
You don't need any other.
That's right.
Well, what about the original Greek? The King James Bible follows the original Greek, the original Hebrew, closer and perfectly. It wasn't translated, it was transliterated. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Let's keep fighting for it. It's the only one I have. It's the only one I use. It's the only one we will use. And it's the only one we will allow.
Yes, sir.
I don't read books written by people that don't use the King James Bible. I refuse to. Let's keep fighting for the Bible way of having church, not the modernist way.
I still believe you can go to the book of Acts and book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, book of Romans, and find out how to have a church, Brother Scott.
Amen.
I don't need to go to California and find out what the perverts are doing out there.
That's good.
California's like a box of cereal full of fruits, flakes, and nuts. Why do I want to get church doctrine from them? Yeah, buddy. I spent 2 years out there. Trust me, I know what that place is like.
And some of the biggest names, quote unquote, in Baptists out there, I know what they are because I was out there. I want nothing to do with them. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
I'll name them later, just not right now. We don't need the modernist way. We don't need to change our standards and our convictions. Bible standards haven't changed because it's 2018. Ladies are supposed to dress like ladies. Men are supposed to dress like men. Men are supposed to use the men's room. Ladies are supposed to use the ladies' room.
Amen.
Men aren't supposed to wiggle when they walk, and women aren't supposed to stomp when they walk.
Amen.
Good night. Men are supposed to stink, and women are supposed to smell good.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I really believe we ought to get back to dressing right. Did you hear Dr. Anderson? He's 87. He can say it. He said that he won't talk to, or he wanted a woman with dresses down below their knees. Wonder why he said that. By the way, I think a man ought to cover his knees up too.
Yes.
Bible calls nakedness exposing anything from the knee above.
Yes, sir.
That's nakedness.
That's right.
I didn't say it. God did. You say, well, I don't like that, preacher. Don't care. You don't have to like it. It is what it is.
Okay. Amen.
And by the way, I've been preaching this a long time, and I don't care.
Yes, sir.
My mom and dad will tell you this. As a teenager, I stood and preached at my church while my pastor's wife wore pants. Try that one once. Our teenagers got on fire and changed the adult women in the church because we put pressure on them.
Amen.
We decided we were going to live the Bible way. Man, let me tell you something. You ought to get up and preach and then find out the preacher's wife's wearing breeches and you just preach against women wearing pants and she was sitting there. Mm-hmm, that gets exciting. And you're best friends with their children. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I've been this nuts my whole life, trust me. I think we ought to fight for biblically loving the brethren. You won't experience a church that has more love than Grace Baptist Church. I promise you that. Real Bible love. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go around hugging on everybody. I have no desire to hug some of you men, any of you men. Not a one of them. And if I ever get a tingle, take me out back and shoot me, Brother Harry. I ain't never tingled when no man ever hugged me. Thank God. We don't need a memorial for fundamentalism. We need a commission and keep obeying the commission.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Brother Hiles used to say it this way. These aren't crown-wearing days. These are cross-bearing days.
Right.
It isn't time to go study a memorial. It's time to get out there and keep fighting.
Amen.
Let me say this. Number three. Let's not stop to mourn the loss. Let's carry the flag and go forward in battle. Let's not stop to mourn the loss. Let's pick up the flag, the standard, and go forward in battle. There was a, back in the earlier wars, 1700s, 1800s, there would be a young man who would carry the flag for the division so they could place things and they would know where the soldiers were. It was called the standard. One day in battle, the standard bearer was shot and killed. The flag went down, and the only one close to him was the general. And the general picked up the flag and started moving forward towards the enemy. And the soldiers all began to holler, "General, get back! Bring the standard back to the men! Bring the standard back to the men!" The general turned and said, "No, soldiers, bring the soldiers to the standard. You follow the standard, I'm not coming back. You follow me."
Amen.
We need to get people back to following the standard. Don't bring the standard back to where we are. Modernists are changing. They're changing the length of their skirts. They're changing their music. They're changing the way they preach. They're changing their Bibles. They're changing everything about what they do to bring the standard back to the people. No, let's bring the people back to the standard.
Amen. Amen.
We're not to bring God down to man. We're to take man and bring him up to God.
Amen.
Too many are at the cemetery looking at headstones and not on the battlefield preventing more people dying and going to hell. I'm not against you going visiting a cemetery, but I'm not a cemetery visitor. I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with it. But I don't need to go to the cemetery to remember somebody who has died. They're not there anyway. The moment they took their last breath here, they woke up in glory if they were saved.
Amen.
My grandfather died, let's see here, 38 years ago, this last Thursday. I've only been to his grave one time since we buried him. And that's when we buried Grandma right next to him. That's the only time I've ever been to his grave. And at least we found the cemetery the first time this time. That's a family joke. But may I say something? There hasn't been a year go by until this year that I didn't talk to my grandmother on the anniversary day to my grandfather dying. This May 24th was a lonely day. A little bit. Because it's the first time in 38 years I hadn't talked to Grandma. But I looked up at her and I said, "You're with him, so I don't have to talk to you about it." It was okay. You see, I don't need to go stand at a stone in a cemetery to remember somebody. I'm not against it. But I think about those people often. I'm not opposed to visiting, but may I say this? We spend too much time visiting in a cemetery while others are dying and going to hell. Why don't we get off our blessed assurance and go out and knock on somebody's door rather than stand at a tombstone somewhere? Now, I'm for you visiting. Some of you have family that you'll go visit, and I am for that. There's nothing wrong with it. But I know people that'll spend more time at a gravestone than they will go soul winning. That's what I'm talking about. We get depressed thinking about the loss instead of picking up the standard and moving ahead for victory.
I'm not happy my grandparents and people I know, Brother Hiles, have died. I'm not happy about it, but I didn't stand at their grave, Brother Stoltz. I didn't, when I carried Brother Hiles' casket and put him in at the mausoleum, I didn't stand there and mourn the loss so much that I quit the ministry and got out doing what I'm supposed to do. Amen. I thank God when Brother Hiles went to heaven, I decided I was going to pick up the standard and keep on marching. Amen. Keep on preaching. Keep on doing what I was supposed to do. I didn't get in it for him. He trained me. He influenced me. I'll take that and keep moving forward. I'm not going to stand and go back every year, stand at his gravestone looking at a piece of marble on a wall in a mausoleum.
Amen.
Yes, sir. He's not there anyway. He's playing tag with the angels.
Yes, sir.
So, a memorial is there to motivate you to go do something. A memorial is not there for you to mourn. It is there to motivate you to keep on going.
Yes, sir.
Let's not stop to mourn the loss. Let's carry the flag further in battle. We have a responsibility to the coming generations. I have a responsibility. I've held hands with the last generations. But I got to take the new generations and show them what was.
Amen.
And that book hasn't changed the whole time.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's the same book D.L. Moody preached. Amen. That's the same book J. Frank Norris preached.
Yes, sir.
That Jack Hiles, John Rice, Lester Olof preached. That's the same book that Jesus preached.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
We'll go back farther than the Pope. We'll go back to Jesus. The angel did not tell the disciples to sit there and do nothing. He didn't say, sit here and build a memorial. He said, why stand you here gazing? He told them, get up and get busy and do what Jesus said do. Jesus did not leave a memorial at his grave. His grave's empty. Go try to visit it. There ain't nothing there. He got up out of that grave. He didn't leave them a memorial. He left them a commission. He didn't leave them a headstone. He left them the cornerstone. He said, go build something. Don't go mourn. He gave us a commission and a battle plan. It's time for us to go to battle, not just sit here at a memorial mourning and weeping. Remember the bravery? Remember the courage? Remember the sacrifice? Yes, but use it so you go do something, not just to sit there and feel all warm and fuzzy.
Amen.
That's what Memorial Day should be. to the Christian. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know, a little different. But I believe it was biblical. I believe it was right.